Why has Russia faced no consequences, not even a public review from the Trump administration?
U.S. lawmakers seek answers on troop bounties in Afghanistan. It's Monday, July 13th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us as well on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube, all at VOA Asia. Also ahead, Britain again reconsiders Huawei partnership. Foreign students in the United States face tough choices. And a singing bridge. It's all on today's VOA Asia. U.S. Democrats in Congress have continued to push for answers on media reports that Russia paid bounties to Taliban-linked militants for the death of U.S. troops in Afghanistan. Those reports that President Donald Trump and some Republicans have said are unverified have highlighted the difficulty of confronting Russia in an election year. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more.
I also want to make clear the following.
The nation's top defense official on Capitol Hill Thursday telling lawmakers in precise language he had not seen intelligence warning Russia was specifically paying bounties for the death of U.S. troops in Afghanistan.
To the best of my recollection, I have not received a briefing that included the word bounty. If it was a credible report, that's important, a credible corroborated report that used those words, certainly it would have been brought to my attention by the chain of command, by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and others for action.
Esper later admitted he had been briefed on Russian payments in intelligence not corroborated by the Department of Defense. The administration has been careful to make these distinctions. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo denied congressional Democrats' request to testify on exactly what the administration knew and how it will respond.
Why has Russia faced no consequences, not even a public rebuke from the Trump administration?
President Trump has tweeted those reports were a hoax, and the White House has claimed the intelligence did not reach the president because it was not fully verified. A justification that has received pushback from intelligence experts.
Even if it was only vaguely clear from the raw intelligence that the Russians might be paying bounties for the killing of American soldiers, that information would have made its way to the highest levels of the United States government, including the president.
Lawmakers have since received briefings on the intelligence, but because of security concerns, have had to be careful responding to questions about its verification.
There are a number of questions here, and some of those questions we know the answer more clearly than others. I personally have no doubt that Russia is attempting to cause us trouble, to reduce U.S. credibility all around the world.
The former top U.S. commander in Afghanistan told lawmakers President Trump's response to Russia should be clear.
We should suspend any troop withdrawals from Germany. These troop withdrawals play into Russian desires to undermine and weaken NATO. If carried out despite these bounties, this will be viewed as a sign of American weakness in the face of Russian threats.
It's not known if U.S. troops died because of the possible bounties. Analysts warn that regardless of the veracity of the reports, Russian leader Vladimir Putin will be carefully watching the U.S. response.
The fact that we even seen this underscores the point that we need to recalibrate our posture towards Russia across the whole spectrum.
A discussion delayed in the United States until the election settles who will occupy the White House next year. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
We invite you to read more on our top story and all the other stories that you hear on VOA Asia by following us at VOA Asia Facebook, on Twitter at VOA Asia, Instagram and YouTube, and you can read and see them at voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Nearly 600,000 vote in Hong Kong pro-democracy primaries. China releases professor who criticized President Xi, according to friends. U.S. warns citizens of heightened detention risks in China. Top Bollywood stars test positive for COVID. Taliban refused to stop fighting for Afghan talks. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more at Facebook at VOA Asia also at the voanews.com website. You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. There is growing speculation that Britain may be about to reverse course and ban the Chinese firm Huawei from its rollout of 5G mobile telecom technology. A move by the United States to ban U.S. companies from selling crucial microchips to Huawei appears to have changed the calculation in London. But, as Henry Ridgewell reports from London, Beijing has warned Britain against what it calls making China into an enemy.
Prime Minister Boris Johnson is trying to build a new so-called global Britain after Brexit, eyeing new trade deals with the world's biggest economies, the United States and China. But Britain finds itself increasingly torn between those two rival powers. In January, Johnson approved Chinese firm Huawei to build non-core elements of Britain's 5G mobile network. The United States strongly criticized that decision, warning that Huawei is closely linked to the Chinese government and poses a security risk. Now it appears the Prime Minister may be about to change his mind.
I'm also determined that the UK should not be in any way vulnerable to high-risk state vendors. So we'll have to think carefully about how we handle that.
What may have caused the change is the US decision in May to impose sanctions preventing American companies from supplying Huawei with chips used in 5G. Britain's National Cyber Security Center has since warned that the US move makes Huawei technology less secure and reliable. British lawmakers opposed to Chinese involvement say the government should use the opportunity to change course.
I think it gives them a way out because it became very apparent to them that they'd got this wrong, I think, over the last few months, and that they even knew they had to change. So what's happened since, of course, since COVID and China's failure to get that under control early or to inform anybody about the nature of it, and it spread, that's also persuaded people that these are not trustworthy as a government.
Huawei says the United States is simply trying to crush a commercial rival.
The UK has had a very long relationship with China, and I hope it's not one that they simply throw away.
Just 5 years ago, then Prime Minister David Cameron hailed a new golden era in Sino-British relations. Now tensions are rising fast over Huawei, Hong Kong and COVID-19. China's ambassador to Britain issued this warning in an internet broadcast Monday.
We want to be your friend. We want to be your partner. But if you want to make China a hostile country, you have to bear the consequences.
A final decision on Huawei is expected before the British Parliament breaks for summer recess July 22nd. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
Happening now in Asia, with downpours continuing to wreak havoc across swaths of China, several cities along the Yangtze River have issued their highest flood level warnings, with parts of the river threatening to burst its banks because of the incessant rain. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. This is VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today. New guidelines introduced last week by U.S. Immigration will require international students to leave the United States if they do not attend class on campus in person. But students already in the United States on F-1 visas will face challenges trying to go home amid a global pandemic. Isha Sarai tells us more.
International students who stayed in the U.S. as their classes moved online amid the COVID-19 pandemic may be forced to leave, following guidelines the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement says it issued due to the pandemic.
You know, I don't want to put my family at risk. I don't want to put myself at risk to travel during a pandemic. And going back to Pakistan, and even if I could defer the program for a year, there's no guarantee that I will get the visa again.
Many students say they need to be in the U.S. for more than attending class.
as a PhD student, the library is an extremely important resource for us. And as it is because of COVID, those services have been disrupted.
The decision comes after universities moved to remote learning in March to protect students from the pandemic. International students had to decide to stay or return to their families.
You know, more than 90% of the students, international students who were studying in the U.S. when COVID-19 hit and college campuses were closed, have chosen to remain in the United States. And this creates such disruption in their lives and such uncertainty that it is unconscionable.
Students outside the United States say the new ruling has disrupted their plans to return.
I know for a fact that international students, when it comes to rules, guidelines, laws, and stuff like that, they are sort of like treated as low-level citizens, if I can even use the word citizen to begin with, because that's what they make clear we are not.
The Trump administration said this week that the policy speaks for itself and that online coursework does not merit a visa. But critics say the decision will hurt U.S. higher education, economy, and diplomacy.
There doesn't seem to be any rationale behind this. It's not going to protect the health and safety of individuals. It's not going to serve the American economy in any way, especially given the fact that $40 billion in revenue comes from international students.
Harvard and MIT have filed a lawsuit challenging the guidelines, and other institutions and organizations are expected to follow. As students await these decisions and universities scramble to change their fall programming, their future remains in limbo. Isha Sarai, VOA News, Washington.
This is Dora McQuar in Washington.
Millions of people flock to San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge each year for the stunning visuals. And now a glitch in a safety upgrade is providing extraordinary sound effects as well. Matt Dibble listens in.
You might think the Golden Gate Bridge, which has stood at the mouth of San Francisco Bay for nearly a century, has nothing new to reveal beyond its stunning beauty. But recently, the 83-year-old icon has become a social media sensation. Has begun to sing. San Francisco resident Anna Clafter can hear it from her house about 5 miles away.
And I watched the video and I was like, what a crazy sound. And then after it ended, I like heard the sound in the background. It's quite loud, actually. Since then, I've been hearing it almost every afternoon or evening.
What is the source of this strange sound? It can be traced to a new safety upgrade to the bridge.
We've been replacing handrail on the west sidewalk with new railing that has thin vertical slats that are designed to allow more air to flow through them. One effect of that is that the bridge, now at very high winds and with specific angles, sings or hums. We knew going into the replacement that the bridge would sing during high wind events, but what we didn't know was just how loud that might be. Some people love it and find it soothing and meditative. Others have found it somewhat unpleasant.
Electronic musician Mr. Bill was inspired to collaborate with the bridge.
So I rode my bike like right into the middle of the bridge. And then I just took a field recorder with me and recorded it and then turned it into music. I was just working on a few tracks at the time, and that one just happened to be slightly closer to being in the key of the bridge.
Engineers are looking into the possibility of dampening the sound. But until then, when the wind is right, it's showtime. For VOA News, Matt Dibble, San Francisco.
We're VOA Asia, and we thank you for spending part of your day with us. Come back again tomorrow. You can also follow us any time of the day or night on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, all at VOA Asia. We thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Popeboon. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.